Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3 for study number 18 today. This 15-minute Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 18-Charge Some. Now let us pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding, undergird our minds, touch us with the Spirit of God, loose our tongue for your glory. I pray, God, you'd reveal to us the truths of the Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." In our last study, which was study number 17, we looked at the bond of Paul and Timothy and how they worked together in harmony and in unison. This will be our study number 18, and in this study we will look at the charge Paul gives Timothy to give to the people while he's gone into Macedonia. We will look at Paul's instructions concerning this charge to Timothy. Paul is leaving Timothy with a responsibility while he's gone into Macedonia. We do not know how long Paul is going to be gone, but Timothy is to carry on the work of God. I'll guarantee you Timothy had the charge upon him. Paul is also preparing Timothy to assume the responsibilities of the gospel preacher and to give out the gospel message in his delivery of when Paul leaves the scene, and he's preparing him for it. Well, matter of fact, I'll rephrase that a little bit better. Paul is being taught and inspired by God, and God is actually speaking to Paul, and Paul is trying to help Timothy for the future. Now, this reminds me of the early days of my ministry when I was just a young preacher in the church before I ever started pastoring. I was still wet behind the ears, so to speak, and thought I knew a lot more than I really knew. I was not pastoring church yet, but I thought I would be a great gift and an asset to any church around. I felt I knew how to do the job. It did not take long, though, to lose that self-confidence and that arrogance. When I was called to my first church, I had a head-on collision with the deacon board right off the bat, and that knocked the spunk out of me, I guarantee you. I thank God for the on-the-job training that the Lord has put me through down through the years. I look back now, and I'm thankful for all that I faced and all that I went through, and also hope I don't ever have to face it again. I also laugh, and many times I even cry over all the blunders I made. Thank God for His grace. It's kept me under control and taught me the valuable lessons I needed to know in order to build up my faith and help the churches that I've been placed in. This was a spiritual boot camp for young Timothy. I know about them spiritual boot camps. He now was going to have to have the opportunity to put into play what he had been taught by the seasoned man of God called Paul. This was a trial run for the young Timothy. I thank God for those boot camps where I've had to go through down through the past years of my ministry. Most of what I've learned has come through the experience of hard knocks. After over 50 years now, I look back and I thank God for the seasoned men of God that I've learned from. These men have taught me the Lord's will. They've taught me the Lord's ways, and they've taught me the Lord's word, and they've taught me with authority, and I give God the praise for that. Now, after all these years, I realize I'm not the young man as the young Timothy is here anymore. I've got some age on me. Time has made a change in me and taken its toll upon my youth. I am not the seasoned preacher as the Apostle Paul either, but I realize that my role has changed. I'm going to leave the scene, and I need to help prepare others to take my place. God buries His workmen, but His work goes on, whether we like it or not, or whether we're ready to go or not. It's just that way. Now, don't snigger at me for the statement I just made. I in no way have ever thought I was near the caliber of a preacher as the Apostle Paul. I've never met a preacher in my lifetime or in my ministry who I thought was ever near or close to what the Apostle Paul was. There's never been one better, and that's the Lord Jesus, and we haven't had Him in our lifetime. I do, however, think today that God seasoned me, and He's made me able and given me the ability to stand against many obstacles in the ministry that I've had to face down through the years that a many of a young preacher today could not even handle. And it's going to have to be, they're going to have to be seasoned and touched and stirred to be able to handle it. Now, we shall move just a little further this morning in verse number 3. Paul is issuing a charge to Timothy to give to the people. I've mentioned in a previous lesson that this is the first charge in 1 Timothy thus far. I mean, it's the first one is mentioned. Of course, we're only in the third verse. There are a total of 6 charges given in 1 Timothy. There's 1 charge given in 2 Timothy for a total of 7 charges. We'll deal with these charges as we come to them in our studies. The word charge means to declare. It means to command. It means to order. Paul is advising Timothy of his duty to declare the truth of the Word of God to the people. The charges are given to all the people and tells them what to do and how to conduct themselves in the house of God. All of these charges are very interesting and they're very important to the operation of the church. Remember the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus are the pastoral epistles and are the operator's manual, if you will, from God to help us direct and lead His church, the Bride of Christ. I repeat that a lot, but I want you to understand these are the pastoral epistles. Now, we'll discuss the charge that Paul has given here in this verse 3. But first, I want us to list these 7 charges that Paul made to Timothy. Then we'll give, a little short a summary or a little some short thought of what they're all about. Then we'll discuss this first charge that's given to Timothy here in Paul's writings. Charge number 1 is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 in our text, and it's a charge to teach no other doctrine. Charge number 2 is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, and it's a charge to war a good warfare. Charge number 3 is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 7, and it's a charge to the widows concerning the church. Charge number 4 is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it's a charge to avoid showing partiality. In charge number 5, it's found in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 17, and it's a charge to trust in the living God. And then charge number 7 is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. And it's that real famous charge, a charge to preach the Word of God, be instant in season and out of season. Now Paul told Timothy to charge some in this verse. I had a problem with this little word when I first read this verse. I did not know if there was any significance with this word or not. And so I began to seek the face of God. Then the Holy Ghost began to speak to my heart about this word. It is a fact that Timothy could not speak to all because he was not in contact with all of them. Amen. Ephesus was a big town and populated with a lot of people. Paul knew that Timothy would only be speaking to those who were in the congregation and not the whole town. Now, Paul knew that. And so that's the reason he said some. He also knew that all believers may not even be there as well, even at the service times. And I know a little bit about that. This may sound like I'm off track and running another rabbit, but I want to expound on something I've experienced over the many years. I've been pastoring churches now for over 50 years, and many times the men of God will spend hours and hours and hours studying over the Word of God and praying for the people of God and asking God to show him what the people need and what he needs to declare to the congregation. He'll spend hours seeking God's face in prayer for each member and each family that belongs to the congregation in order that he may be able to reach them for the Lord with a proper message at the proper time. Then when church time rolls around, some of them who really need the message will stay at home. I don't care what you do, they'll stay at home. And they'll lay out of the house of God for some little silly reason. And all the time the man of God is studied and spent on time doing that seems just go out the window and into the air. Every child of God should follow the instructions of the Word of God as seen in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now when this happens, amen, and you just have a few, then you can only tell some. And that's what Paul's trying to get at here in this scripture. Now, we'll discuss the first charge found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 in our text here. This charge is to be given to the people to teach no other doctrine. Before we give the actual charge, let me point out something that is of utmost importance here. The pastor of the church, according to the Word of God, is the man in charge for the spiritual welfare of the people. That's brought out clearly many times in the Scriptures. We're living in a day when many will not accept or even believe this thought. There are only two offices, I want to remind you, that's found in the New Testament church, according to the Word of God. One is the pastor, and the other is the deacon. The pastor is the overseer, or the one in charge to oversee the people. And we'll find that the pastor is the one that God speaks to, and then he hands down the orders from the Lord to the deacons, and then they in turn put it to play and put it in practice in the church. Now, any church that will not follow the order God has given and abide by God's protocol, we'll have problems and we'll not have the hand of God upon it. You can rest assured. The church will fall short of its potential. It was designed to be and designed to do. Pastors and deacons are the leaders of the church. But if they try to step out of order and confines of where God has placed them, then there will be a division and there will be a turmoil. And it'll get in an uproar. Many churches are going through this turmoil as we speak, simply because the leaders do not know what role they're to play in advancing the cause of the gospel. I hear the statement made over and over again that they believe that the deacons are chosen to run the church. That's not biblical. Pastors, on the other hand, say the very same thing, that they are the one that is in to run the church. I want to say to you, without an apology, both are wrong. Amen. According to the Word of God, the church is to be led and run, if you like that word better, by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. The church is a divine institution purchased by the blood of Christ and is to be completely controlled by the divine hand of God. The pastor is the mouthpiece or spokesman for the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God, Christ is the head of the church, not the preacher, not the pastor, not the deacons. Ephesians 5:23 said, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." According to the book of Acts chapter number 6, the deacons are the table servers. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, and you can read on further down in there if you'd like. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." In other words, they are servants. Servants are to serve. Servants are to be under authority, not in authority. Their job is to take care of the witnessing and the visiting and the seeing that things get done. Their job is not to run the church and tell the preacher what to do, as many would like to think. When pastors and deacons do their jobs and don't try to get the preeminence or take control of the reins of the church, then the church will prosper and be a blessing and a light to the community. The scriptures say that the early deacons had an honest report and were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Oh, I would to God we had a house full like that. Pastors and deacons are to work together in one accord and let the Holy Spirit rule their lives by the Word of God. There will be harmony in the church when the leaders are in harmony with each other. Pastors and deacons are co-laborers with each other, doing their own respective jobs and duties to further the gospel from the four walls of the local church. Their every effort should be to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world without Christ. This has been lesson number 18. I trust it's been a blessing to you. May God bless you. Amen and amen.